Hello and welcome into the KE Report. I'm your host, Shad Markowitz, and I'm speaking today with Jordan Roy Byrne, founder and publisher of The Daily Gold. And Jordan, it's always great having you on the show just to get your thoughts on the precious metals markets, on the markets in general. And one of the things we can say about the last couple of weeks is it appears the precious metals have been getting at least some safe haven bid on the back of all the banking concerns. We've talked ad nauseum about all of the different wobbles in the financial markets, starting with the Silicon Valley Bank and then ratcheting through a bunch of regional banks, the Credit Suisse issue that we saw last week and really spearhead over the weekend, where UBS is now taking them under, backstocked by the Swiss National Bank, also contributing for liquidity. And so that has people concerned. They are turning to bonds. They are turning to gold. They're turning to the yen. Some people have ran into the cryptos again. So you have seen the markets respond to this concern. But just from a pricing level, Jordan, and a technical level, when you look at the action in gold kind of towards the end of last week after we spoke, and even over the weekend, it got up near $2,000 at one point in the futures. It's receded a little bit since then. But what's your take on the end of last week's price action, how things closed the week?
Well, the weekly close last week was pretty significant. I think it closed at 1974. If you're looking at the weekly chart now, you can see early this week. I mean, although there is somewhat of a bearish weekly candle, the market traded above 2000. So it looks like the market has come to similar weekly resistance that it came to in early 22. And it's also not that far away from the peak in 2020. But looking at the gold chart in general, 1950 to 1985, that to me is the most significant resistance area right now. If we were to get a weekly close above 1985, that would be the second highest weekly close ever. Another thing that's interesting is, and I think I mentioned this a couple months ago when, you know, after gold had that run, it was correcting. We were talking about how gold should, I mean, if it has started a bull market, a real bull move, that the correction should be short. I mean, if you look at the corrections at the beginning of real bull markets, they tend to be like absolutely 10% at the most, 7% or 8% in a lot of cases. And so that correction that we had into the low at the end of February, that was 8% or 8.5%. So that's right in line with a bull market, actually. And, you know, gold, that low came down to about 1815. And we mentioned that was a very significant level, a lot of things filling into that level, a lot of support, I should say. So I really like how gold is acting. You know, I wouldn't be that concerned if it put in some kind of interim peak here. I mean, if the Monday was the interim peak, I mean, we know the Fed's coming up, so we have no idea how the market could react after that. But I think things are trending really well for gold, and I see it breaking out this year, breaking out above 2100 and starting a real bull market. I mean, if you look at what happened in the bond market, two-year yield had these record drops. I mean, it's possible it could retrace part of that big drop. But if you look at the yield curve, I mean, it's been badly inverted for a while. And so now, you know, we've got this steepening. So it looks like we're probably in the process of steepening that should continue, I would think, for the rest of the year. You know, maybe the Fed hikes 25 today, but if you're looking at the market, the Fed funds futures, I mean, they're discounting rate cuts over the coming months. I mean, this banking problem might be settled for the time being, but, you know, that's going to hit the economy because we're going to see far less lending. So I think everything's trending really well for gold, and I don't see anything that's going to change that over the next couple months. I just think now it's a waiting time because, you know, looking at the balance of all these probabilities, they tell me that gold's going to break out this year.
Yeah, Jordan, overall, compared to some of the calls some people were making just a couple of weeks ago, that gold was probably going back down into the 1700s or 1600s. And when gold did get down near that 1815 support level you mentioned, they didn't expect it to hold. So what's interesting about charts and pricing action is that it incorporates everything. It incorporates all the buying activity, but geopolitics, sentiment, any kind of national news, international news, all that gets factored into the gold price. And so when you look at the charting, I guess the next question is, we're getting near the end of a quarter here and the end of the month. How important is this quarterly close in your opinion? And what level would you like to see ideally to confirm that we are in that bigger leg higher for gold this year?
Well, I mentioned the 1950 to 1985 zone. And part of that is the quarterly all-time high closes 1953. And so if we close this month above 1953, that would be the highest gold's ever closed to end a quarter. So that would be very significant. And I think on a monthly basis above 1953, that would be the third highest monthly close. I mean, I'm looking at the monthly chart and the highest monthly close here, it comes out to about 1986. Yeah, so 1986 is the highest monthly close. So again, it all comes back to my 1950 to 1985 range. But yeah, making that monthly and quarterly close above 1953 would definitely be a good sign. Closing above, I mean, if the market's able to close above 1985, that would be the second highest weekly close ever, but also the highest monthly close ever and the highest quarterly close. So if we were able to close the end of next week above 1985, I mean, that would be really, really significant. I think you'd probably see gold run to a new all-time high in the short term. If it closes above 1953, it's still very significant, obviously. We'll see what it does, and I guess I'll have a better reaction at that point. But it again, that's what we're coming to, and the question is, are we going to see a lot of buying into that month end, and you know, people holding their positions that have gains and that sort of thing? Or you know, if this banking panic has settled down and you know, the market does more of a stock market does more of a rebound here, how much could gold sell off? I mean, I'm just thinking off the top of my head, but the reality is, yeah, it's that 1950 to 1985 level that's key right now. And so 1953, that's the first. That'd be the quarterly new all-time high.
Well, we'll keep tabs on that. We still got a week and a half left. And as you mentioned, there's all eyes are on Jerome Powell today. And I'm sure the markets will parse it a million different ways. And we may see some head fakes and some volatility, some whipsaw action in the markets afterwards. It'll just be interesting to see which way this settles. So a lot can still happen in about 1.5 weeks here. But definitely some good targets for everybody to keep their eye on for the end of the month, end of the quarter coming up. Jordan, as you look forward to, you know, the rest of the year, and it, you know, we'll have to see what Powell actually says, but it's clear that they're getting near the end of this rate hiking cycle. And as far as their quantitative tightening, by backstopping all these banks, they wiped out all of the work they had done to reduce their balance sheet. So now the Fed's balance sheet is growing again. Is there any other macro news, though, besides the Fed that you have your eyes on that you think is important for what could shape markets, either the general equities and or gold and silver for the balance of this year? Any other macro news you got your eye on?
Well, that's a really good question. I mean, macro news tends to lag. I think the unemployment rate, I think we're seeing things that go into the unemployment or things that lead the unemployment rate, like the JOLTS data and, you know, new job offerings and quits and that sort of thing. I think those things are ticking up. So I think we could see employment start to take a hit over the coming months. And honestly, I just think it's economic data, because you look at historically when the recession hits, that's when the Fed starts cutting rates. And so it's just a question of, is that going to happen in the next 1, 2, or 3 months? Or is it more likely to be 4, 5, 6 months away? So I think that's the real key for me. I know that a couple of days ago we had the first rate cut was priced in, I think, in June. So I don't know, maybe after today, if the Fed, you know, says something, the market will push that back a couple of months. But that's been my thought for a while, is, you know, when the Fed actually executes the first cut, that could be when gold makes its big breakout. So, economic data is important, but I would kind of one up you there on the question and say, I'm watching that 2-year yield and watching the yield curve and see, because if the 2-year yield remains weak after this Fed decision, and you know, the curve continues to steepen, I mean, that's going to continue to be a really good sign for gold, you know, regardless of what the Fed said or did.
Yeah, Jordan. And it's interesting how quickly those Fed fund futures switched from not even expecting a rate cut this year, pushing it off to 2024, to then quickly moving it to the end of the year, then moving it to the third quarter, and then moving it all the way up to June, all within a couple of days. I think it was last week that happened. It may have been the very end of the week before that. But in a matter of days, the Fed fund futures moved from no cuts to like, hey, we're going to have cuts this summer, which just goes to show how quickly things can change. I guess just as we wrap up, Jordan, a lot of the comments we're getting from people when they email us or just responses on the show was how poorly the miners are reacting in relation to the metals price, because gold has made a nice move higher. Silver had a nice bump as well. At one point, silver was up 10 to 12% off its low just from a couple of weeks ago. But the mining stocks really haven't responded as much. What would you say to the beleaguered investors in our sector, Jordan, that are sitting on mining stocks that may not be moving in tandem with the gold and silver prices?
Well, the first thing I would say is it depends on what stocks you own. I mean, even the stocks that I own and follow, I can, you know, and I have some that are underperforming, and I can give you reasons why that's happening and what the market is waiting for. But I think the larger picture, we talked about it last week, looking at the sector as a whole, margins have been hit really hard in the last two and a half years, because gold price hasn't broken out and costs have gone up considerably. And look, that's why the big breakout in gold going above 2100 is so significant, because when that happens, you know, the market is going to discount improving and really good economics for these mining projects. I mean, look, it's just math. When you're looking at a gold price of, you know, 1850, 1900, 1950, and whatever the cost, all in cost is 1200, 1300. If you're just thinking about a certain mining project or the average mining project, you know, what happens in 6 months after the case, you know, or when gold's at, you know, 2500 and the cost of mining is only up 5% at that point or whatever. I mean, that's the fundamental reasoning why the stocks are really going to run when gold breaks out. But I am working on an article talking about when, you know, when gold will outperform, when silver will outperform. But generally, it's going to happen after we see gold make the big breakout above 2100. So, I mean, we've seen this multiple times over the past 20 years. So, look, you should not be worried at all about your, you know, lagging miners if you think that gold is going to make that breakout soon.
All right, Jordan, we'll wrap it up there. I think people just need to be patient and wait to see the precious metals make that move that you're talking about, the break to new highs, and then it will eventually drag up the rest of the sector, and then people will be overly excited that their miners are now overperforming, and when everybody's high-fiving each other, when things get frothy, that's when people should be concerned, not when the metals are making a move, knowing that the miners typically lag and will catch up. So we'll wrap it up there, Jordan, but always appreciate getting your thoughts here on the KE Report. I'm sure we'll dissect what happens at the end of this week, middle of next week, when we talk to you again, and looking forward to our next conversation.
Thanks for having me.